that they heap lies on this man who literally died for us, spurs me on, and draws me inextricably to him. Particularly as I know that because of his direct experience with the hiddenness of power and its weapons, and this is all through his lyrics, we'll be talking more about this, only he has been analyzing the full problem of our capture and continued incarceration. That only Prince has made a complete assessment of what we are confronted with in being confronted by organized global power. And Shakespeare is right. We have to know the problem to address it successfully. And particularly as I know that establishing the truth of what these global fascists did to him for over 35 years ends the system. This is one side of it. But I must admit to another side. I just find this man endlessly interesting. His work is so packed with thought. And when you know that someone put a lot of thought into something and you value them for their kindness and wisdom and scope of vision, you want to absorb your full measure of that thought. You want all that you can grasp of it. That is how it is for me with Prince. My life is illustrative of Socrates' dilemma. I was the kind of person Prince was trying to reach. Quote from his song Sexuality, half of the staff of my brain was on vacation, and I'm changing that to be reflect my copying to this. Half of the staff of my brain was on vacation, but for that very reason, I could not hear him. We're calling that Socrates' dilemma. What changed in me? What changed in me such that I could finally hear him? What is the answer to Socrates' dilemma? Does it get back to that quote from Proudhon we cited in our April 17, 2016 show, the very week Prince was murdered? Quoting Proudhon, but it is a psychological fact nonetheless true, and one to which the philosophers have paid too little attention, that habit, like a second nature, and I comment, like a false self, has the power of fixing in the mind new categorical forms, like obedience, like a master, like submission to authority. New categorical forms derived from the appearances which impress us, and by them usually stripped of objective reality, but whose influence over our judgments is no less predetermining than that of the original categories that some have argued and he shared were innate. Hence, we reason by the eternal and absolute laws of our mind, and at the same time by the secondary rules, ordinarily faulty, which are suggested to us by imperfect observations, or one's parents, perhaps, I ask. This, he says, is the most fecund source of false prejudices and the permanent and often invincible cause of a multitude of errors. The bias resulting from these prejudices is so strong that often, even when we are fighting against a principle which our mind thinks false, which is repugnant to our reason, and which our conscience disapproves, we defend it without knowing it. We reason in accordance with it, and we obey it while attacking it. Enclosed within a circle, our mind revolves about itself until a new observation, creating within us new ideas, brings to view an external principle which delivers us from the phantom by which our imagination is possessed. A very insightful, as Proudhon has proven to be a font of insightful comments. observations. If so, then we need to have access to those ideas, those new ideas that could free us from the phantom by which our imagination is possessed. If so, we need time. We need access to those new ideas, and we have to have time to let them marinate in us, the length of which shortens in proportion to our authentic discussions of those ideas with the ancestors and with each other.